Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Miller. This is the What Drives You podcast, where we focus on your drive. Your drive is working in some areas of your life, producing great success, yet in other areas, maybe not so much. Let's get clarity on what you value, what motives are helping and hurting you, and get you fully into alignment so you're driving further and faster and enjoying the ride. Two ways to practice being present and how it is actually of value to you. I met with a group of guys this morning to talk about being present. The group's actually a bunch of guys from Colorado, from Denver and Colorado Springs, and we go on adventures together. We mountain bike and run and hike and raft and paddleboard and surf and camp and ski and basically revel in the outdoors. But we also journey to go deeper. Well, the guy who founded the group, he talks about outer terrain and inner terrain. So on the inner terrain, this concept of being present, it's kind of in vogue today to be present, but I found two problems present in it. One, it doesn't sell well, ultimately, and being present doesn't sound valuable and fun at face value. And two, most people think it just means, you know, not daydreaming or being on your phone and paying attention to the environment around you, which is good, but what is valuable about being present, and is it more than just paying attention to your surroundings? So drive with me for a moment.
I'm a foodie, and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon. Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of 7 requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Two ways to practice being present and how it's actually of value to you. So I hear about the concept of being present an awful lot lately. Yet the culture seems to grow more and more unpresent every day. We keep ourselves distracted and entertained and don't see a real tangible benefit and do anything else. Well, first, there are two ways to be present. Let's talk about that as we talk about the value. And to begin with, we can simply look to our present environment, as I said in the intro, and notice it. I mean, I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary. I can spend every moment, no matter where I'm at, thinking of ideas and opportunities and solving problems and creating things. And I love doing that. Love it. I really do. Now, I'm also human. I can also be anywhere at any time and be worrying about something and caught up in those anxieties as well. But initially, you know, those things aren't inherently good or bad. We need to dream and we need to worry sometimes too. But you know, just like being on screens, it's not that it's so bad in and of itself. It's the amount that is in question. And what is that keeping us from doing otherwise? I mean, I could spend an entire day never being aware of my surroundings and the people in it, lost in thought, good and bad thoughts, but miss the world around me. A friend in my guys group has a sign in his office to help him. And it says, life is now. Life is now. So even here, sitting at my desk, I'm at my home office right now, home studio, where I can be typing away for an hour or three. Can I also stop and notice the trees outside, the birds flitting around, or the plants on my windowsill, or my beloved books on my shelves, my couch that I love behind me? Or right now, or a moment ago, as I was sitting here typing, my grandson was sitting behind me reading a book out loud. Later tonight in the living room, my kids will be around and family will be around, and I can again be lost in thought, or I can check into their conversation. I can ask how somebody's doing. How was their day? Tell me about something. Listen to a story. We all understand that. One of the guys this morning cited that the past is gone. Sounds pithy, but the past is gone. It is gone. It does not exist. It matters, but it's gone. It's over, never to be retrieved again. And the future is just speculation. It hasn't happened and it may not. I can't predict it. Most of you know my dad recently got a cancer diagnosis, passed away 6 weeks later. I mean, his future here on earth just disappeared really fast and everything that he had planned with it. So I think about it like budgeting. You can't be present and in the moment all the time. We do need to plan to think of the future and what could be to create that which does not exist. That's beautiful. And we need to be here and now and present with what is happening before and around us. This beautiful life that is right here, right now, that we don't want to miss. It's so fleeting. But now number two, in the aspect of being present, we hear a lot about meditation. And where we just talked about being present in our environment and what is around us externally, meditation is speaking at being present with ourselves internally. And again, though, what is the value? Well, I admit what got me interested initially was simply the testimonials of the 250 plus amazing, successful, and joy-filled guests that I've had on my podcast. And if you found, I find that all of them, a majority of them, talk about a meditation practice. And it's interesting. If I found that they all gave credit to climbing on their roofs and yodeling at midnight every day, I'd kind of consider it. So if the most influential world changers testified to meditation and being present with self, it's worth taking notice. So there's one aspect on value. But here's another concept. I'm going to relate it to fasting, abstaining from food. This is not just a spiritual practice, fasting. It's not just a self-discipline practice. And it's not just a weight loss practice. It also gives our body, our digestion, a break. It's a health practice. I mean, most people eat at night, dinner, snacks. A lot of us are in the habit of eating almost till we go to bed. So all night, your body has food in it that's kind of working on, though it's trying to be at rest. So it may just have the food sitting there. So you wake up in the morning and it's working on that food. So even if you skip breakfast, like the intermittent fasting thing, your digestive system is probably still working. Even if you feel hungry, it's still working. It's still food down in there. So even, then you go and if you do eat breakfast, or a mid-morning snack, or lunch, and then other snacks, dinner, whatever you do, your digestive system and body seldom get a break. That's just our culture and a reality. So when you stop eating really for a time, like an entire day, let's say that you don't eat all day until dinner, or you skip that too, and you go a full day. For me, a full day of fasting is, I had dinner one night, I don't eat it all the whole day, the next day I eat breakfast. That's like a whole fast. I'm not saying I enjoy this. I'm just saying I believe it's a benefit to me. But if you do that, it gives your body a break. All of a sudden, your stomach's empty. Your digestive system is kind of empty. It's going, oh my gosh, thank you. And it can rebuild and regenerate. And that's why so many people, when they do fast, again, there's people with health issues and whatnot. I'm not a doctor. This is not medical advice, whatever. But most people who are generally well-ish feel great. They feel a lot of energy and mental clarity. Yeah, because your body's gotten a break. All right, now bring that back to meditating, where we're striving to clear our minds or at least give our minds a break. I have a hard time stopping my thoughts from coming in. Again, I love my thoughts and my ideas and working on them. I can sit still for a long time alone by myself, just with my thoughts. Or, discovering great things in my thoughts, finding. But again, to budget my energies, when do I ever give my mind a break? I don't know that I even do that at night when I'm sleeping and dreaming. It's still just active. So we're taking captive, trying to give our mind a break. So to meditate and sit still, close our eyes. I'm working on a practice now where you choose a word, kind of like a mantra. A friend yesterday said that he's using the word grace. Fine. So he closes his eyes and focuses on that word, grace. Then a thought comes in and he doesn't get upset at the thought. His goal is not to give it attention though, not dwell on it, simply to mentally wave at it, release it, and come back to his word, grace. And he's good for a few seconds or 10 seconds or whatever it may be. And then the next thought comes in and he notices it waves and tries to release it and come back to grace again, and so on and so on. And with time and practice, the time between the next thought that comes through is supposed to get longer and longer, and we achieve more peace, more rest. I have faith in that. I haven't achieved a whole lot of nirvana in that aspect yet, but the concept is solid. Can I give myself 3 or 5 or 10 or 20 minutes of not dwelling on thoughts and give my mind a break? Makes total logical sense. So I'm practicing this, being present with myself and not just sitting with my thoughts, but sitting aside from my thoughts in essence, just for a bit, just for my own health and wellness and peace and a break. One guy on the call said he's feeling so much better from it that he finds himself doing this 3 or 4 times a day. So there you go. I hope this has elevated the value and the tangible aspects of this concept of being present. So here's to you and I being more present with our environment and with ourselves. And from that, driving with more peace and joy. Well, friends, thanks for joining me on this short drive, this short journey. I ultimately hope that this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin, airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin. Thanks so much for joining me on this journey. I look forward to meeting you in the Drive Tribe community for ongoing discussions about each episode. You can subscribe to the Drive Drop newsletter for weekly updates. Find it all at kevinmiller.co, along with all our social media and video clips. Until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride. Yeah.